Okay, let's switch gears because we still want to test we're testing our audio.
Yes.
So the test is we're at 12 minutes, so we have to record for another 6 hours.
Wait, what? Why?
Nonstop.
Why?
So we can really test how many bigums are in there.
No, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, we have to keep going.
There's so much on there.
We have to keep going forever. Sorry, okay. This is just our life now. You're going to have to be in that position.
Okay, this point onwards is where we are checking to see if my voice sounds different compared to what you've heard already, other than the cadence I'm currently inflecting.
Is that like a Kirk-esque thing?
No, Kirk was way more impassioned.
That was like, that's what I said, like a Kirk-esque.
Esque, yeah, okay, that's fair.
Kirkish.
Yeah. Mr. Sulu. Fire torpedoes. Damn it, Spock. I just can leave a man behind on the planet to die with no chance of rescue. Starfleet won't respond to our hails.
Oh my God, seeing you do this in person is so fun.
Is it different?
Yeah.
Because I still do like the arm things.
Yeah, but I never get to
see
your elbows.
Don't see his Oh, you don't. Yeah, it is all in the elbow. Yeah, Shatner did act from his elbows. That's yeah. Damn it, man! I've got Shatner elbow.
There's tennis elbow, and then there's Shatner elbow.
Yes. It's over, like just bending.
But you like went somewhere for that.
For Kirk, I love doing Kirk, but it's terrible. It's a Jim Carrey over the top Kirk impression. It's taking like he will do that. Once an episode where he's really passionate, and I'm applying it to every single word that he says.
I think I've seen him do it a couple of times.
Exactly.
What was the one we watched most recently at this point?
That would be A Mock Time.
Yeah, I think there was one moment in particular, maybe towards the middle to the end of the episode, that I noticed it. It might have been when Kirk was in Spock's room.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like one beat. He was on the left of the screen, and he did it. And I remember thinking, there it is, there it is.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting to know that that's an, is it an affectation?
Yeah, it's an affectation. Yeah.
That so many people do.
Yeah.
But then you don't actually see it as much as you think you're going to see it.
Uh-huh. And I know why. If when we watched The Wrath of Khan, which we attempted to and you got bored and left.
When was that?
This was at Sin Week. We started watching it because part of the live show was based on The Wrath of Khan. And they do, the ship is exploding at the beginning and they're doing this test and you got so bored. And it was Kirk's birthday and McCoy bought him a present and you were like, I am so bored, what is going on here? And you left. Maybe you were in a bad mood.
It could be all of those things.
All of those things. But
I don't remember this at all.
The Wrath of Khan, you will love it. You will. But there are several scenes where Kirk's Kirkisms go off the rails. Like there's one scene that I won't give away, but he's really, really mad at somebody that's trying to kill him.
Okay.
And he's just like, and you missed, and just like a poor marksman, you keep missing your shot. And like it's so like it's the Kirkiest Kirk ever gets. And I think we get so much of his Shatnerisms from The Wrath of Khan and from a couple of the movies. And then we backwards apply them to the show. Because he's not as bad in the show. I don't think he does it as much in the show.
Do you think it was like a purposeful acting decision?
Yeah, he's yeah. Yes.
So he made that, the character delivers things like this.
Yeah, he's like, he is an over-actor. Like he is.
But only in the
passionate,
movies.
Passionate. More so in the movies. More so. Because I think he was more confident and more arrogant in the movies as well.
Interesting.
He wanted every movie to be about Kirk.
Oh, we've had this conversation before, but it's been a while.
It's been a while. I actually just read an article. So you know the newer Star Trek movies, the J.J. Abrams ones with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto. The big question was like, why did they focus on Spock? Why didn't they bring Kirk? Why didn't they bring Shatner back at any point? And like, we love Leonard Nimoy, but it was a bit of a question mark. Like, couldn't Shatner have appeared as well? And J.J. Abrams, we're so removed from it now. But he said, I was not against having Shatner in any of the movies. The problem was, whatever movie we put him in, his demands were that the movie was about him. He didn't
want still to this day.
He didn't want a cameo. He didn't want an appearance. He wanted the movie to be about Kirk.
Does that happen with any other franchise or any other actor who claims a character like that? Because, I mean, I don't talk about movies a bunch. I don't talk about this kind of thing a bunch. But it's so interesting that there's this person who feels like they own something so strongly that they can make demands. And maybe like early in the days of Star Trek, it was that or nothing. And there was more power. There was more of an ability to control an entire production based on a character that you play.
Mm-hmm.
But does that happen anywhere else?
Interesting. I think the closest comparison, and it's interesting because it's exact opposite in some ways, is Hugh Jackman and Wolverine. He owns Wolverine. Like, he is Wolverine. However, he is so happy to keep coming back and doing it. Like, when they did Logan, and that's the death of Wolverine, he was like, that's it.
He dies?
Oops. That's the end of me playing Wolverine. But then, of course, like, 7 years later, he returns because Ryan Reynolds was like, I want to make another Wolverine movie. So he's not... He cares.
He undies?
No. That Logan... This is a different Wolverine. Still played by Hugh Jackman. It's a multiverse thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Deadpool digs him up and beats people up with his bones and then finds a different Wolverine.
Okay.
I'm not saying that Hugh Jackman would do a really shitty Wolverine movie or like wouldn't be protective of the character, but he hasn't got the same level of arrogance. Like, Deadpool and Wolverine is a movie about Deadpool. Like, there's a lot of Wolverine in it. But I don't think, like, if they did another X-Men movie, he would come and do a cameo as Wolverine. It wouldn't have to be Wolverine needs a huge part in it. And he's done cameos as Wolverine. But yeah, I can't think of anyone else that owns Kirk, that owns a character as much as Shatner owns Kirk in his head.
Yeah, and what I mean by that is that like the invitation to open up a movie and invite a character to join that space also means that you're inviting the actor to make demands that change. It's kind of strange because usually a character is owned by an entity that controls the story. Like the character is driven by the writers of the story, and the franchise is owned, or the rights to it are owned. What's the word I'm looking for?
The IP.
The IP, yeah, is owned by.
And that is like true.
Of a family or a person or an organization. But in this case, while that is true, that person still has enough power to say, yeah, that character, you own that character, but it's my face and I get to say what's happening. That's wild.
Well, what's interesting is that, yes, Kirk is owned by Paramount, whatever. Shatner's Kirk is owned by Shatner. Like, just by the very essence of Shatner. Like, you can't replicate him other than doing AI stuff. So if you want his version of Kirk, you have to bow to his demands or not have it.
So then how is he in Generations?
Good question. So, no, I do know the answer to this.
Money.
Well, money, absolutely. But they, from what I remember, they approached him and said, will you be in a crossover movie for the Next Generation? And he said, yes, if you kill Kirk. So his demand, as I remember it, was, I want a way to go out and it has to be a heroic death. Now, lots of people argue that death wasn't heroic and it was a bit lame. But that was his demand that, yeah, he... And to be honest, the TOS part of that crossover is all about Kirk. Like, that isn't a TOS crossover. That's a Picard gets to meet Kirk crossover. Because, yeah, Scotty and Sulu... Scotty and Chekhov are in the beginning of the movie. But none of the other cast returns. There's no Spock. There's no... Forrest Kelly had passed away at that point. But there's no Uhura, who was still alive. There's no Sulu. So that is about... That's about as egotistical as you get. Kirk is hand-picked by the Nexus. And the story is about him and then returning to Starfleet. And it's the weakest part of Generations for me is the bit that focuses on Kirk. So I think his arrogance did show through in Generations to the movie's detriment.
That's interesting.
I also don't think he would have done it had TNG not been as popular as it was. Because I think TNG, I could make an argument that TNG surpassed the popularity of TOS.
I would agree with that.
So he was hitching his wagon.
But there's
something
to be said too about TV being in more and more and more homes.
True. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, TNG just came at the perfect time when you didn't have streaming, you didn't have the internet. So you could have 7 seasons, 25 episodes, because you had a more captive audience. You still got to put out good shit, but it wasn't nearly as competitive.
But without that, we wouldn't have had things like Firefly or any of the crazy...
We didn't get Firefly.
The sci-fi series that you would see on like the sci-fi channel. There wouldn't be a sci-fi channel without it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Farscape or whatever was on soon after.
I love Farscape.
There was a couple of other ones that were on.
Like, Andromeda.
Yeah.
Just a couple seasons of that. That's also Gene Roddenberry.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that was his little baby. He was like, this is what I want to do that isn't Star Trek. Babylon 5.
Yeah.
So good. I would do a Babylon 5 show because,
you
listeners,
love Star Trek.
I've never
stuff.
Watched it.
I don't think I did either.
We can't do another show tonight. And that would be such a frustrating show to listen to because we would have
no context.
We would have nothing.
No, I think
we would need guests on every week.
I think one of the reasons Captain's Pod works is because you're the expert.
But I think it works because it's the both of us. It's, and I don't like to be called an expert, a Star Trek enthusiast and a lapsed person of interest. Well, it looks like season one did have 22 episodes as well. So Babylon 5 was Deep Space Nine before Deep Space Nine. And there's a lot of like implications and a lot of accusations that Deep Space Nine copied Babylon 5, which is interesting.
I mean, that just happens everywhere.
I really do want to watch Babylon 5.
Well, let's watch it. But it can't replace RuPaul's Drag Race.
No. I mean, you replaced RuPaul's Drag Race. You didn't wait for me to watch it.
Oh. Oh, no.
Oopsie. Do you want to tell people that we've started watching Survivor from Series 1?
I think we should tell them. Oh, wait, you just did.
We should do a little check-in every so often about Survivor season, how we're going through all of the episodes of Survivor.
Yeah, it did start in an interesting way because Aaron was over and mentioned that we should watch all of them. And we sort of didn't even think about it. We're like, yep. And we just immediately put it on.
And it's just a different TV show.
Completely different.
It's completely different because of the players. The show itself is remarkably untouched to what we see now, other than the like added twists and turns. But the bones of it are right there. The players just play it radically differently.
Watching the newest season of Survivor, and then in between episodes, watching the first season of Survivor is really strange. Yeah. It's got to feel a bit like when I watched the newest season of The Challenge, and Aaron told me, go back and watch the other ones. Mm. And I went all the way back to the beginning, and they're so different.
Yeah.
Similar ideas. We're going to put some competitions. We're going to be voting people off. You know, there's going to be a show off between two people at the end, and one person goes home, that kind of a vibe. But like for The Challenge, it was all about partying and getting drunk and like wild arguments and conversations and things like this.
That was like the MTV shows of the time. It was all about that drama. And I think that's what they were intended to be.
Yeah.
And now they've turned into career shows where you are career reality contestant people and it's way more serious.
And now it's about going in from the very beginning with an alliance.
Yes.
Going in with the mindset, and the challenges have changed where it used to be like very simple challenges. Like you're going to stand on this pole in the water until one of you falls in.
Mm-hmm.
To, okay, you're going to solve a puzzle, jump on an ATV, ride it off the side of a cliff where you are attached by a harness on a crane. So you're not going to fall in 200 feet down into the water. Gosh. But while you're falling, you need to reach out and grab the star that's out there.
Wow.
So it's or jump on the back of a semi and you're going to have an archery contest while you're trying to balance on a semi while it's going 50 miles an hour. Like they've evolved
that's
with
amazing.
That. Similar to Survivor, we're watching like the first season.
Yeah.
And most of the, video of what's happening with the contestants is them actually killing rats to eat.
Yeah.
And building survival huts and refusing to talk to each other about game.
It was the most jarring line was there was a piece to camera, one of the contestants, Richard. They're all talking about the votes and he's like, I want to go and talk to people about who we're voting for. But each person I approach is like, nope, don't want to talk about that. And we just looked at each other and was like, that's the entire game. They decide before tribal, are we going to do this as a group or do we have one-to-ones? And then they go off and have their one-to-one conversations yeah. and they do their schemes. And it's so interesting
it's so that different.
It's just not there from day one.
And the competitions are different as well.
Yes.
Like a competition in season one is, okay.
Could kill you.
Yep. We're going to drop this really heavy chest in the bottom of the ocean and you have to dive down there and carry it to shore somehow.
This thing that will not float. If you hold on to it, it's keeping you underwater.
Versus jungle gym scavenger puzzle things. Yeah.
And interestingly, season one of Survivor is what I remember expecting Survivor to be before I started watching it. I was like, this is going to be a survival show. And it's about like who's got the skills and who can work together. Because when I started watching it a few years ago, I was like, this isn't about survival at all. This is a community game. This is about alliances. Like, this isn't about making a shelter and hunting for food and making fire, really. It's about the alliances and the backstabbing and whatnot. And I find that very interesting. But it's kind of comforting that the intent of the show
started
was
off
to be
that
more
way.
Survival. Started off as what I was thinking.
It's so uncomfortable to listen to and watch in some ways too. It audio wise, all you hear are the sounds of the jungle because their audio wasn't. They didn't have individual mics. Yeah. They just. It was a lot.
Constant crickets.
Yeah, and it's a very unlavish set. Yeah. When the rain pours, it pours down on everyone.
Rained out the tribal council. They had to abandon it.
They didn't though.
No, but it was a lot shorter than it would have been.
Yes, it was. And then the second thing is that they're showing all that they can show of chopping heads off of rats.
Yes.
Because they're all struggling to get fish. And then now it is really not showing at all how they're eating.
No, it's not. You'll see them eat rice and maybe that'll be frustrating, but...
But they have to win the rice. So you know before they have to win the rice, they have to be eating something.
It's kind of like they just agreed that that was the less interesting part. And maybe... Because I've only seen probably from season 42, 41 onwards.
So you've
maybe.
Seen the last
I've seen
eight
the last,
seasons?
Oh, less than that. I've probably only seen three or four
so
complete seasons.
So they're on 49 right now.
Oh, okay. So maybe
so
I started
45. 47, 48?
Yeah, 44, 45, something like that. I remember 45. So maybe by the time you've done this 45 times, it's like, okay, you've seen them kill one... Right, you've seen
maybe.
Them kill them all. You've seen them kill the fish. That's not interesting. The people change each time.
Yeah.
What they have to do
it's
doesn't
pretty similar.
Really. Yeah.
But maybe the audience at home is less comfortable with someone spearing a manta ray.
Yes, that was interesting to watch. Like, we saw him stab at three manta rays.
Was
and
it
they're
a manta
still
ray?
Wiggling. Oh, stingray, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Adorable fish. The fish from Finding Nemo at the beginning, the school teacher, one of those.
But more colorful and very small comparatively.
Yeah, yeah. And just stabs it. And it's wiggling on the spear.
Yeah.
And then it eventually stops flopping.
Yeah. And you're watching him like, one guy's like, just try this rat meat and hands over this tiny little rickety leg with the smallest little bit of meat on it.
Yeah.
And the starving contestant is like, okay, I'll try it. And then eventually is like, this is actually pretty good.
Let's hunt some more rats.
We've got rats everywhere. Let's start eating all the rats. Yeah. I'm just thinking, oh my God, this is why they don't show it. Because they have to have some protections in place to keep the contestants somewhat safe.
Yeah.
For Captain's Pods, we watch Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
We watch RuPaul's Drag Race,
because
that's one of my favorites. We're watching Survivor. Mm. The ones that I'll put on without fear of upsetting you, because you can't watch it with me.
I'm unupsettable as well.
Of course. Amazing Race, Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I'll dip in and out of Amazing Race, and I love medical shows, but...
Top Chef, Next Level Chef are two that we kind of are watching together too.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying both of those and I haven't committed to any cooking shows. So and because they're coming out weekly, I'm not preventing you from binging. So the weekly shows we're pretty good at watching together.
So far, I mean,
so
you've
far.
only been
here a week.
Yeah. It's going to get difficult for me because I'm sure maybe other people have this too with their friends and or their people. Like the guilt of going or going like, okay, can I watch this? Do I have to wait on this? Do I watch it in secret?
I'm,
like wait for you to go to bed and then like while you're sleeping, I can watch my stuff and you'll
never
know.
As long as you don't mind watching it again with me. You got your lie, as long as you can keep it and then watch it with me, that's fine.
So you want me to lie to you?
If I never find out, is it really a lie?
Yes, absolutely. Fair. What kind of a question? What are you hiding from me? Holy shit.
Now, I don't know if I'm strange or not, but with the shows I really enjoy, like Survivor, I don't want to do something at the same time. I don't like second screening them. So I don't want to throw it on while I'm working or while I'm doing emails or like some of the admin stuff
like
I have to
watch
do.
It, watch
I want
it.
To watch it. And I like to have like a cup of tea or like have my dinner.
Like your ritual.
And I like to watch it. Like, and okay. It's something it's a precious thing that I like to look forward to.
So which shows are in that category, just so that we can coordinate?
The live shows?
The ones where you want to be focused and watching.
Survivor.
Great. So everything else is on the table for me to binge. Gotcha. Nice.
Yeah. I'm not super invested in any of the others. Survivor's great. Really got my number.
God, I'm glad we recorded this podcast because this is a part of our relationship I needed to understand.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. There's so much content.
There is.
There's so much TV out there. I don't want to handcuff you. So I think picking Survivor, I had to do this with Aaron because he would only let me have Doctor Who.
As far as like he wouldn't watch it until you were there.
Yeah, because we have like a movie night on a Thursday.
Right.
And a couple of years ago, there was Andor and a couple of other shows. And we would watch the new episode each Thursday. And there was one week where I had to miss a Thursday. And he watched everything. And he was like, okay, I can't wait. Pick one and I'll keep that sacred for you that we watch together.
See,
but
that's what
I'm not
going
to wait.
That's what you should do in a healthy relationship is have those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what happened? Did you notice what happened this morning when I was making breakfast?
I noticed that the kitchen smelled really good.
Yeah, it did.
I noticed that I was doing laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching a show.
Yes.
And you were listening to music.
Until I turned the music off.
Because
I saw you were watching the TV, so I turned my music off so that you could listen to it.
I just thought you didn't want to listen to music anymore.
No, I thought my music was too, because the speaker's in a weird position.
It is.
And when I went into the living room, I was like, I can't even hear the TV because of my music. So I turned my music off so I could watch your show.
Do you want to know what I did?
Did you turn the show down so I could listen to my music?
Yes, I made sure that it was at a decent volume where it wasn't going to disrupt you, but also I specifically picked a show I don't really care about so that you could listen to your music.
That's so sweet.
And then when the music went off, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't even realize that you did it on purpose.
You care about Grey's Anatomy.
Not enough to, like, if I miss a couple lines. Like, usually I can look up at the screen and just based on what's happening, tell what the story is going to be.
You batted me away. I was like, what are you watching? I was like, can't you pause it? And you're like, no! I can't pause it! It's important! And I was like, oh, okay. I'll leave you alone then. And you're like, are you serious right now?
Was that Grey's Anatomy?
It was a show where somebody proposed to someone else and you said it was Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. Okay. In that moment, I really wanted to see that scene.
This is why when you just said a show I don't really care about, I was confused about how much you cared about it.
Okay,
then
fine.
I put my nose in it.
Since you're bringing that up, let's talk about it. I'm watching an episode. I'm watching a scene.
On one quarter of your cell phone screen, as God intended. Tiny little portion of your screen, which is why I thought it wasn't important. But carry on.
First clue that it was important is when I push you away. That's clue number one. When you come back in the second time, and I'm like, that's clue number two that I'm trying to do something. But then you get this, like, cheeky sort of like, I'm gonna go in then. And then you like came at me.
I think I only went in twice.
Did you?
Yeah, just twice.
Mm-hmm.
There was once when I didn't have my glasses on either. So
oh, that was the other thing that you did too.
I had to look closer.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. Let's fucking talk about this. I just remembered what you actually fucking did. You literally go, I don't have my glasses on. What are you watching? And you stuck your head over my view and put it right in front of me. And I said, and I moved it so I could see it. And you're like, what is it? And you grab it and you're trying to like get to where you're watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a shorts thing because
still
it wasn't
rude.
You weren't even full screening it.
Still rude.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
You were like doing something else in the background. I was like, this can't be important, but it sounds very dramatic for a short.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how annoying is the TikToking happening?
Probably, well, now that I've got headphones on and I can't really hear it, 0. As soon as I think about it, 101%.
Okay, it works. Oh, God.
What do you mean? It works. I love that. I mean, I hate that to wake up to.
How's your bear claw? I mean...
All right, okay. Well, I guess we're getting into that. Let me just take a bite of this bear claw.
I'm going to take a bite of mine, too. Do you think that mine looks like a penis?
Yeah. It doesn't.
It sort of looks a little...
Not at all.
Okay.
Danae is eating a long john. and no, it does not look like a penis.
Well, unless... It got a little bit bent.
Unless the penises in your life need medical attention.
Well, this one is... It does. It's also struggling a little bit.
That's a big penis.
It really is. I don't think I've had one quite this large before.
You don't think?
I mean, I mean a long john. I mean, oh, a long... Oh, no.
I go to a place where we like to get donuts because I want to pick up donuts.
Mm-hmm.
Funny. And I drive up and I say, can I please have 2 bear claws if you have any? Does that seem clear to you?
It doesn't matter if it's clear to me at all.
I ask for 2 bear claws and the lady... The drive-in window, who I would guess was 17, 18, something like that, had maybe never met an English person before, said, I'm sorry, but we don't do bagels. No. 2 bear claws. And I did the little rawr. I did the hand gesture for bear claw. And she said, no, we don't do bagels. I was like, yes, okay. Mm-hmm. No, bear claws. She suddenly has a wave of inspiration, turns around and hands me a bag that is ready to go. And I said, oh no, 2 please. She looks over her shoulder, says something to the other guy. He looks confused and is like, I mean, yeah, I guess. Grabs another bag, hands it over. I open up the bag and it is filled with donut holes.
Which is so not anything close.
So I got 2 bags of donut holes because that is clearly the closest I could get to bear claws. And I decided to just drive away with the donut holes because I didn't want to go through this anymore.
I just want to go home now.
I just want to go home. Aaron tried to teach me how to say it as well. And so have you now.
Yes. And I said, say B-A-Y-E-R.
Bayer. Bayer claw.
Yes.
I was running to get some Bayer claw.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Tell us about the latest development with Katageddon.
I guess to tell the story, I first need to say that I have battery-powered security cameras, and I have relocated one of them to the floor of the garage, facing the gap in the garage door that I keep open so that I can see when thunderstorm comes and goes. Yep. That's kind of an important part of this.
The cat you have adopted from the neighbor, for anyone who's just joining the story at this point.
Yes. Thunderstorm is my neighbor's cat that has decided to live with me, and the neighbor has acquiesced.
Yes.
I think she may even have lovingly said, it's fine. It came at a perfect time. This is not the story that you wanted to hear, but I do want to say it came at a perfect time because her boyfriend moved back into the house after he's in the army and he was living away for like a short bit with his German Shepherd. Mm. And so they've just returned and the German Shepherd and Thunderstorm do not get along. So it's kind of perfect timing because gotcha. The cat doesn't want to be at the house and doesn't want to go inside the house, but has now adopted our house anyway. So it's kind of like nice.
Well, he's made a bitch out of Reese's and Twix. Like, he kind of owns those dogs.
He definitely is getting a little bit more punchy. There's been several times that one has walked by and he just kind of looks at him. And then when the dogs glance lingers a slight bit too long, mm-hmm. he just goes pop, and I've seen it twice, and I laugh at it, and I feel a bit bad. Like, I feel like I'm, I don't know, betraying my dogs. Like, I should be upset with the cat, but really, I would rather the dogs be trained to fear the cat because he will fuck them up. So this camera that I have has now picked up a new visitor unexpectedly. I just was looking through my feed. Usually, the alarm will go off and it'll say animal detected, and I know what the animal is. I don't even pay attention, but I just happened to glance at one of the videos and the cat was looking very different. I actually have two security cameras in my garage
you
right
do.
Now.
Yep.
And it was the one that's facing the door. Was the first one. And I'm like, well, where's Thunderstorm's black tail? Mm-hmm. Turns out not Thunderstorm.
Not a black tail.
So then I put out another camera. So then the second angle picks up that it is an orange, massive cat. And first I think, oh, it's a new friend. And then after chatting with Ian.
Uh-huh.
How is it, by the way, carrying on a conversation with a face full of donut over there, by the way?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying this so much. I'm like, this is my time. Quickly, swallow the donut. Nope, she's still going. Take another bite. So.
Oh, my God. Just finished chewing it. Like, take a drink.
All right, forget that.
You have no moisture in your mouth.
I'm good. I'm great. I can do this. This is going to be amazing. So, I said, it's very unlikely that they are buddies. Friends, anything other than rivals.
But what's
because that's just not how cows are. Cows. That's just not how cows operate. Cows are just fucking vicious. They're so territorial.
Can you imagine if cows were territorial?
No, I'm imagining cows in your garage now.
Like every milk dairy farm is just it's like the wild, like the wilderness,
absolute
like
massacre. Why do cows keep coming into your garage? Cats just, they get very territorial. They sometimes mate, but I think these are two male cats and I think they are fighting, and we kind of suspected that strongly when we saw a little cut on Thunderstorm's eye as well.
We did, and I have been since then paying attention to the cameras quite a bit more, and I noticed a pattern. The cat, which we now call Grapefruit because Iris refuses to let me call this new cat Garfield.
Because Garfield is already a cat.
Mm-hmm. So Grapefruit is the one's name. A bit sour, really. So Grapefruit seems to be coming in moments after Thunderstorm, almost like he's stalking him.
Mm.
And last night was the first night. 5:30 in the morning is when I hear the cat fight sound, which I believe was Thunderstorm howling in, like, basically in cat language, saying, like, fuck around and find out, Grapefruit. That's what mm-hmm. I think he said.
Yeah.
I think Thunderstorm knows his name is Grapefruit, even though we hadn't technically named him Grapefruit yet, because he's such a great cat.
He can tell this stuff.
But you know what's really interesting to me? It's not that I ran out to, like, show up for my cat and be like, I got your back. It wasn't that. It wasn't that I was so half asleep I actually ran into the bathroom first without realizing where I was.
That's amazing.
It wasn't any of those things. It's that I can't stop thinking about it. Mm. Like,
in what way?
Well, even on the ride home from dropping Iris off at school today, I was just thinking about it. I'm like, man, what am I going to have to do to make sure this cat isn't messing with my cat?
Mm.
And I have fully taken on responsibility of Thunderstorm. Like, he is my cat, even though he's technically also my neighbor's cat, and I will defend him in whatever way I need to. And where at first seeing a new beautiful orange cat enter into my domain was kind of like, oh, I have law of attraction to myself and other animal.
I'm going to have 10 stray cats and they're all going to live a fluffy Disney life in my garage.
Yes, like,
no.
He'll be dressed up in a little tuxedo, this new one, and Thunderstorm's the one that's wearing, like, the little dapper suit and the little cap with the, you know, that's Thunderstorm.
And they're sharing a spaghetti noodle together and...
No. My stray cats are running a secret underground speakeasy. Yeah, it's like that.
Oh, so this is
very
more
1920s
like
flapper sort of
vibe.
Do you
want a top cat?
No.
He's the most hip-hop, da-da-da-da, top cat.
Don't know what that is, but it sounds amazing.
See? Yeah, it's an old Hanna-Barbera, but it's an old cartoon, and it was like Officer Dibble, I think, and it's a street cat, and he was very like 1920s, and, yeah, boys, we're gonna That's a terrible impression. It was my Officer Dibble. He sounded a bit like Yogi Bear, I think. But it was a group of street cats that were just up to nonsense.
Okay, I'm thinking, I used to be into webcomics, like a lot. And there's one called Lackadaisy.
Okay.
I'm thinking very Lackadaisy.
Lackadaisy.
Great art. Amazing. Set in the 1920s St. Louis, Lackadaisy is a story of an unlikely gang of jazz cats, alley cats, and fat cats doing their best to survive the bootleg business.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. This is not Top Cat.
No, this is what I'm thinking my stray cat situation would be like. I'm fully expecting to, at some point in time, just have a beautiful white Persian show up wearing pearls and like a flapper dress and like little bitty kitty cat heels.
Serenading you in the garage?
Yes. But no, I'm afraid that Thunderstorm is like now on like an anxiety because he didn't want to come in. The normal cat that I usually see, he is not. He's wanting to almost stay in the garage and he's like hunkered down and he's watching. It's almost like he knows that someone's coming and they're not supposed to be coming and he's going to protect his environment. And I just don't want to lend to that. So I'm starting to, when the cat comes in, make sure the garage door is closed. Like I'm starting to think about all of the ways that I can set up like a little security systems. You know, I've already gone ahead and spent about $3,000 on my credit card to buy a whole bunch of like little battery powered cameras, and I've placed them strategically, you know, around the yard so that I can see this fucker coming wherever he is. And I can proactively run out with the squirt gun because, you know, like that's going to, oh, you know what? No. I'm going to also upgrade my sprinkler system to very carefully just like the little thing pops up out of the ground. And usually, you know, it would like water the lawn. But this time it's like laser focused on grapefruit cat. And it's just like pew, pew, pew.
Do you know that it's going to hit grapefruit and not Thunderstorm?
Oh, see, I'm also spending some of that money I told you that I just spent on training Thunderstorm to operate the system.
Oh, wow, so okay.
Man. He's now imagine him wearing a little hacker's outfit with like a little headset and like a little microphone, and he's at a computer just furiously typing with his adorable little pink toe beans.
I was immediately thinking like aviator goggles for some reason.
And he's at the computer and he's just like he's like in one of those movies where it's all the screens around him and he's just watching all the security feeds and then he can just pop up and it decides what to do. That's anyway, I'm thinking about it a lot.
The other thing I mentioned this morning was that the only reason we want to attack, not want to attack, the only reason we want to defend Thunderstorm from this cat is because we got Thunderstorm first. It could very easily have been the orange cat that found you first, and then Thunderstorm maybe was encroaching upon the territory.
Well, wouldn't that have been awkward?
We should be kind.
Then I'd be having a different conversation with my neighbor. I wouldn't be inviting her over to show him like the dish of food and how he drinks out of a goblet of water, a true actual goblet. With his filtered water and his special raw food that
you give
I have
him the
now.
Filtered water?
Yes.
Oh, I put it out the tap.
Oh, it's no wonder he's mad at you.
I think he loves me more.
I would be inviting her over to have a sit down and be like, your cat is trying to kill.
Your cat's a dick.
My grapefruit.
Trying to kill my grapefruit.
But it's not that. It's the other way around. And maybe they're buddies and he's just coming over for like chit chats. But that howl that happened at 5:30 this morning sealed the deal for me. Up until this morning, I did not know what it was going to be
like. Less than 1% chance that they're buddies.
Maybe every once in a while I'll talk to my buddy like that and we'll still be friends afterwards.
Call each other's eyes out.
There was no actual fighting.
I think there has been, though. That cut was from...
It could be.
Yeah.
It's hard because it's not... Thunderstorm is an outdoor cat. He loves to go outside. He really does. And this is what my neighbor told me.
You could not keep Thunderstorm indoors.
No,
he would be miserable.
So I have to be the kind of like cat mom that is prepared for the cat to come home beat up. And then I also have to be prepared to have the emotions of tell me which cat did it and I'm going to go talk to their mama and daddy.
Well, that was my next thought was this orange cat I don't think is a stray. I don't think that's likely.
A collar.
Neither is Thunderstorm.
That's because he's not been my cat yet. You know, like I'm actually wondering if I should.
I personally would always collar a cat. Do we know if Thunderstorm's microchipped?
I don't.
We should check that out as well.
I'll call his original mom.
Yeah. Hey, should we just take over the insurance as well for this cat? That is a genuine concern of mine. What happens like with vet checkups.
Right now, because she's done it, but we don't know about the future. I should probably ask her about that.
There is like a transitionary period where it's like, I am feeding your cat every single day.
Every single
day. He spends most of his time here. Am I just genuinely taking on the vet bills as well? Is this my cat? Because you don't want neither of you to be doing it, especially with an outdoor cat. The orange cat could well belong to one of the houses. So what if you find out one day who the orange cat belongs to?
Okay, new idea. I set up a little spray bottle that has dye in it right by the door. Okay, it's powered where I can push a button inside the house from my phone, an app maybe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It comes in, psst, I fire it, and it has this really strange splotch on it. Then we watch the HOA forum. And when someone pops up and says, does anybody know about why the cat's...
Who splotched my cat?
Does anyone know what this... And then there's a picture of him. Then I'll know. And I'll say, hey, I'd love to meet you for tea sometime.
So I can claw your eyes out.
Yeah.
That, I mean, they do that with banks when money gets stolen. And then some of it will be like exploding ink or like ink that melts and stuff.
Money.
So yeah.
I'm gonna need more money.
There are people we can talk to about that. This absolutely reminds me of like, they'll do shorts of podcasts and it's... Yeah. Like bros, and they're in sofas, and the idea is to like make this look as little like a podcast as possible. Yeah. And they're like hands in their pants, joggers on,
what,
like lounged back.
What does hands in the pants mean to you?
Just hands in the pants, just like we're bros, just
their
hanging
hands
out
are in their underwear.
I've never actually seen that, but I mean they're just like super chill.
Okay, but when you say their hands are in their pants, and the English version of pants is underwear.
No, I'm using the American version of pants. Yeah,
great. In my mind, I was like, what is this podcast?
But that is a thing that men do as well. Bros.
On like video, on podcasting videos?
Maybe not.
No, I don't think
they probably don't.
They
anyway,
get paid for that on OnlyFans.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. What I'm getting at is that it's super casual, and that's how I'm sitting. Like, I've got that very casual leaning vibe.
So
it's already hurting.
That's what I was going to say. From my perspective, you look like you're in pain.
Yeah, no, I am.
It looks like you're on the verge of collapsing out of your chair.
Yeah.
And you have spikes above your head.
I wouldn't... Oh, yeah. I did have to... for the record, I did have to duck to get into this position.
I feel like if we were to release this audio, it would be a disservice to attempt to not explain what I'm seeing.
Go for it. I think we've painted a pretty good picture so far.
I think the audience is only going to be thinking about your hands and your pants.
That's fair. No, that's fair.
Which is not...
I should take those out.
That's not the podcast that we're doing.
You should just take a picture and then post that
beneath
it. Like, this is how I'm sat.
Okay, but then there's some people that just don't want to...
see me? What are you trying to say?
See anything visual. I wasn't talking about you. It took my phone that long to load up.
You hate that phone. I hate that it's keyboard. Like, the keyboard on that phone, when it pops up, takes up half of the screen, but 50% of that is blank space. It's not keyboard.
Yes, that's because I have tiny little fingers. And then I adjusted it so that the keyboard is so that way when I type, it's actually like at my at my thumb level.
Tiny thumbs.
And then like I'm just like, because otherwise it's so big, I dislocate my thumbs to move them down to the bottom of the screen.
Yeah. You're great at not exaggerating. Just like dislocate, just rip your thumb off.
It's like I'm typing like this.
Yeah. I love when I used your phone yesterday, I was like, man, this is an annoying phone. I hate this. But that's the feature that you've customized. And that's probably the only thing you do like about it.
Yeah. But I don't like it. It's a frustrating experience when you like keep trying to find a phone that you like and to watch everyone else that you know just be super happy with their phone. And then I cannot find something that is really exciting. The Note, the Galaxy Note, I loved that phone.
It's our sponsors today.
Well, they don't make them anymore after the whole battery explosion thing.
Oh, they should probably stop sponsoring us then.
No, please don't. We need the money. I think it was because something about the way that they were produced created this problem with the battery being just blow up.
Yeah, but that was like, I feel like that was 6 years ago. Long time ago, maybe longer.
So then Samsung was like, okay, that's fine. We'll release a phone that has a stylus and call it the Ultra.
Yes, but I remember that.
I did not know that one had the stylus.
Right.
So when they stopped making the Note, I was sad and I went to a Pixel and I had a Pixel that everyone around me was having an amazing Pixel experience.
Me included.
You and Aaron. I think Jeremy may have gotten one.
Jeremy absolutely did. I'm on my third Pixel now.
So I got one and all kinds of problems were with it. Now, since then, my dad has told me that he will sometimes just pick up his phone and it'll glitch in his hands and completely wipe the phone. I think he and I are super powered.
Yeah, I think you have an EMP shit going on.
Let's get back to the really exciting thing about bitching about my phone, which is something that I'm sure everyone is so happy to hear.
Well, I want to speak on behalf of the people that don't have problems with their phones. And I think, I don't know, that... okay, the thought I was about to have was I think I'm very adaptable to different interfaces. And I think I end up loving whatever I'm currently using. However, I've been lucky enough since I was... 23, 24, I'm going to say, where I've always had either a Samsung Galaxy, an iPhone, or a Pixel. So I haven't used any of the quote-unquote lesser brands or lesser models.
So many people offended right now.
No, I don't mean... You know what I mean, though? Like I don't know, but...
I've been lucky enough to pay top dollar for the most expensive phones.
Because I like my gadgets, I like my technology, and I've been lucky enough to... Yes. To be able to afford it. This thing that I use 24 hours a day, like so much. So, and I think they're all, what I'm getting at is that they're all at the peak of the user experience. They're the flagship model for that company. So you can have like the Samsung J something, whatever, and it's going to be slower. It's going to be glitchy. It's going to be annoying, especially after a year. But I loved my iPhone when I had it. I loved my Samsung Galaxy 7, I think I had. Yes, we're that old. We had single-digit Samsungs. And I love my Pixel, but my Pixel has been my favorite of the bunch, for sure.
You asked about the issues I was having. I also have always got, like, a new one.
Yeah.
And those brands as well. Mm. My glitches were always really confusing. And the most frustrating part of the glitches is that I would share them with my tech-savvy friends. And to be... treated as though I'm wrong or I'm like, oh, that can't be what's happening.
Right.
And then for them to pick up my phone and have the same experience, like, I have no idea why your phone is doing that. Mine doesn't.
Yeah, that's where I thought that was going. Yeah.
Super frustrating because it's like, great, I, of all people, got the lemon phone, you know?
Yeah.
So then I moved off of the Pixel and moved into this Ultra and I'm like, good, okay. And I'm going to have my favorite phone feature to date, which is the stylus. And then this is the shittiest phone I have ever had. Yes, it has a stylus. Stylus doesn't work on it any longer.
Oh, no.
It stopped working on it like 8 months ago. I haven't been able to use it, but it's still so expensive. I'm still fucking paying this thing off. And then it's slow and it stops working and it won't load stuff quickly. So it's just not my favorite phone.
Really confusing to me. And I believe you. But it's so confusing to me that you've had such bad luck.
That's it, right?
Because you may as well not buy the top of the range one.
That's
you
what
may
I'm
as
thinking.
Well get like a off the rack. Off the rack.
Off the rack. Yeah,
yeah, it's what they do with phones. Just get a $50 smartphone or a $100 smartphone and just
go into the hand.
It's
gonna
be slow anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm doomed. I think I have my father's curse. One time he had his phone in his pocket. He sat down and he got a phone call, took the phone call, sat down. Realized he sat, picked it back up, and his phone was completely shut off.
Yeah.
And wiped.
It's so weird.
Just in the matter of seconds, it was just done.
Well, this genuinely is a thing because my mum cannot wear wristwatches because there is something about
her biome.
Her biome, like her...
Electric, and the electric part of us, right?
Yeah, we do have electricity in our body.
We're
but
super.
She kills... watches. Yeah. So she has to have a specific brand of watch.
Yes.
And it's called Swatch. I think
that's right.
And they somehow, I don't know, they reverse the polarity. I just accepted this as a kid. Maybe it's marketing bullshit. Maybe it's not true, but it's the Swatch watches are the only ones that worked with her.
I need to find my Swatch watch smartphone. That's what.
Yes, exactly.
The only phone I have not gone back to, I was on the OG Apple. You know, I had the first Apple phone.
Yep.
They called it the iPhone. I don't know if you've heard of it. And
yes, the Apple phone.
It's actually up there.
I can't turn my head. I'll stab myself. Sorry.
Yeah, one of the OG iPhone. And at the time, you And I think still to this day, to a certain degree, there's not a lot of customization that you can do.
No.
So I was really curious about, well, when the Androids started to say, well, you can customize, I really wanted to make my home screen different. Not just have a different wallpaper.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to be able to move things around where I wanted them to go.
Yeah.
This is before widgets.
Yeah. You can do that with the iPhone, but I not as much as Android. Yeah.
But once I went to Android, I've just been going through those. And so I have not tried to go back to an iPhone. Mm-hmm. And it's always the iPhone versus Pixel kind of a fight in my mind. But anyway.
I've been tempted to go back to iPhone. I genuinely have. I just know I won't take advantage of all of the interconnectivity that goes on. But and I do use that with my Pixel, with my Google stuff, like the...
I'm a Google
the
girl.
The sharing of... I don't know why I would move away from a Google phone now.
I don't either. Gosh, this has been a really great conversation. Thanks for joining us for Ian and Danae bitch about their...
bitch about their ultimate first world problems. Oh man, these socks be thick!
I don't know if they're going to be big enough.
Oh, they are thick!
But I got the longest ones I have.
How big do you think... How long do you think my feet are?
Bigger than mine?
Well, yeah, but... I guess, yeah.
I mean, I think your feet are the same... are they small?
No, they're great. They are thick.
Are they too thick?
They're like thick as a Yeti. They're so great. Nice. I love them.
Haven't you always wanted to put your foot instead of a Yeti?
Yeah. Well, when you put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening. Want to connect with the show? Our hailing frequencies are always open through captainspod@cinemasins.com. Like, comment, and subscribe on your podcast player of choice, and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
The Jeep brand has always stood for American freedom. Now with our Freedom of Choice pricing program, you can choose your offer. Cash incentives or employee pricing for all. Hurry into your local dealer today for details. Jeep, there's only one. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Jeep brand vehicles for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers and lessees will qualify. Restrictions apply. Not combinable with other offers. Ends 4/30/2025. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.